This morning's scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first 9 verses. It's on page 961 in the Pew Bible. If you'd find that, and please stand for the reading of God's word. First Corinthians chapter 15. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. So ends the reading of God's word. Please be seated.
Well, today is Easter Sunday, as we've been saying, and Easter is the story of hope. Easter is the story of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the hope that comes to you and I through that story. Now, it's the last part of the Easter story, the resurrection, that gets the most attention. It stands out to us, especially on Easter morning services. And it stands out for good reason, because the resurrection is the most impossible part of the Easter story. We're all familiar with dying. We're all familiar with being buried. But I don't know anybody who has been raised from the dead. That's something that we look at today as something that is impossible. You know, people don't come back from the dead after they've been buried for 3 days and started to be corrupted. That's not natural. That's not normal. At least not where I come from. And this part of the Easter story is challenging to us, especially because these days we have a lot of medical knowledge. We have a lot of understanding of how the body works and how life sustains itself in our bodies. And so when somebody has been dead for 3 days, with our current understanding of things, there is no hope. That can't happen. It's impossible. And so this story of the resurrection stands out to us because we see it as impossible. And the resurrection stands out to us because it's also terribly important to our faith. Very important to our faith. If you read the whole chapter here of 1 Corinthians 15, you will see exactly why the resurrection is so important to our faith. It's important because if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then those of us who are trusting in him as the perfect sacrifice for our sins are sadly mistaken. Because if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then our sins are not paid for. We are not forgiven. And if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then there is nothing to be gained from worshiping him as we do here in this place. And for the people to whom this passage was written to in the first century, they had a lot to lose from worshiping Jesus. They lived in the Roman Empire at a time when Christianity was outlawed. It was illegal. And the people suffered greatly for following Christ. And so this resurrection is terribly important to our faith. And taking it one step further, Paul, by the Spirit, tells God's people that if the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not true, then just stop all this nonsense. Go enjoy yourself to the fullest. Go live your life any way you want to. Make the most of it. Because your life is short. And you might as well enjoy it as best you can. Yes, that advice is in the Bible. It's in 1 Corinthians 15:32 if you want to go see it for yourself. That's the way life is. If Christ did not raise from the dead. But we all know that he did. And that's why you and I are here today. Because Christ is risen, we believe that we gather together today to worship him. And because the resurrection is true, there were many people in the first century of Christianity who chose to suffer very greatly to follow after Jesus Christ. Because they'd rather follow Jesus, knowing the truth that he is risen, than to deny him and face his wrath. Well, while the resurrection is the most important part of the Easter story, and it's the most standout part of the Easter story to us, it is not the only part of the Easter story. In our passage here in verse 3, Paul tells us that there is more to the Easter story than just that he rose from the dead. He tells us that the whole story of the Easter story is of first importance, and that includes that Jesus died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And that is because all of the Easter story has an amazing significance for the followers of Jesus Christ and the hope that it brings to them. While the resurrection gives us hope of life to come, the whole Easter story gives us hope during this life that we are called to walk through as well. And so that is why it's important to have the whole Easter story in picture here. And the key to seeing the hope offered to us in the whole Easter story is really seen in how Jesus cares for his disciples as he prepares them for the day of pain and suffering that they would experience when Jesus was crucified on the cross and they lost their Lord and Savior and the Messiah whom all their hope was placed in. It's also seen in how Jesus prepared them for the day of confusion and doubt that they would experience when Jesus was buried and in the tomb and remained there for day after day. But Jesus also prepared them for the day of joy to follow and the day of new life that they would experience when Jesus would reveal himself to them on that resurrection day as the risen, ascended Lord and Savior. So Jesus took great care to prepare his disciples on how to handle days like this. And how he cared for them serves as an example for all of the followers of Jesus Christ to prepare themselves to experience days like these. Because every single one of us will experience days of pain and suffering in this life. And every single one of us will know days of confusion and doubt in this life. And every one of us will also experience days of joy and new life in this life. And so it is in this way that the whole story of Easter brings hope to all the saints who are looking for that final day of joy and new life to come, the ultimate day. And until that day comes, we are called to endure the cycles of life that include the days of pain and suffering, the days of confusion and doubt, and the days of joy and new life that follow after them, that are also part of this life. And so let's look today here at how Jesus prepared his disciples for the days of pain and suffering. The night before Jesus was crucified, he took his disciples to a garden to pray. And we see this in Mark chapter 14, verse 32. Jesus is about to experience the most painful days of suffering in his life here on earth. And here, Jesus showed his disciples how he wants them to approach enduring the days of pain and suffering. So starting in Mark chapter 14, starting verse 32, we read this. It says, "And they went to the place called Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.' And he took with him Peter, James, and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, 'My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me.' And going a little further, he fell on the ground and he prayed." In this day of pain and suffering that Jesus experienced, we see how Jesus dealt with these challenges so that he could endure and so that those who follow after him can endure through days like this. In the day of pain and suffering, Jesus first surrounded himself with friends. Jesus surrounded himself with friends. In times of pain, we have a tendency to isolate ourselves, to pull back, to retract from society and from being around those we know and even those we love. And while we may need some time for ourselves, you know, that is needed too for a time, it's not good to stay there. In fact, God tells us to make good use of friends to help us during times of pain and suffering. We read about this over in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, where it says, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up." It's important to have people around you when you're going through times of pain and suffering. And notice how Jesus interacts with his disciples in this day of pain and suffering. Jesus asked them to be engaged and be present with him during this painful time. He said, "Watch. Watch with me. Stay awake. Be present. Be alert. Be here with me during this time." Jesus also shared with some of them his burden, how he was troubled in his soul. He says, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death." He was real. He was honest. He shared his heart's feelings with his friends. And when I was meditating on this, it hit me. Jesus is the Son of God. He's the perfect one. And even Jesus saw the need for friends, saw the need for sharing his pain with his friends during the hardest night of his life. And if Jesus needed friends during the times of pain and suffering, how much more do you and I? How much more? But if you're familiar with the rest of what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know that friends have their limits as to how much they can be helpful to you. Before we read on in Mark chapter 14, it says, "And Jesus came and found his friends sleeping. And Jesus said to Peter, the leader of the group, 'Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak.'" You know, we can't put all of our hopes in our friends, because your friends are human and they will let you down. They're imperfect. But that doesn't mean that we don't ask them to join us in our journey through the days of pain and suffering. For even Jesus asked his imperfect friends to join with him. And so Jesus surrounded himself with friends during the days of pain and suffering, but he found them to be imperfect, and he didn't just stop with friends. Jesus went to the friend who sticks closer than a brother, the friend who never sleeps, the friend who will never leave him or forsake him. And Jesus spent time before the face of God in prayer during the days of pain and suffering. If there's one thing you can count on, if you are a child of God, that is you can always go to God and he will be there. And he will hear you. No matter where you are, no matter what your situation, he is there. God is always there for you. And God actually calls on us to come to him in prayer, to seek his face during the times of pain and suffering. We see this in Psalm 55, verse 22, where it says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you." Do you hear the invitation? Cast your burden on the Lord. He wants to hear from you during your days of pain and suffering. We have another example in Psalm 18, verse 6, where it says, "In my distress I called upon the Lord. To my God I cried for help. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears." That's good news, my friends. That's good news from this example from the psalm, that God hears us. God hears us when we call out to him in the days of pain and suffering. Jesus, in his day of distress and pain and suffering, called out to God and cast his burden upon the Lord. And his prayer that he gave in Mark chapter 14 is clearly a model for us to follow in our days of pain and suffering. He said this in Mark chapter 14, verse 36. Jesus said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." That was his prayer on the greatest night of pain and suffering. He prayed this simple little prayer. It was a prayer of simplicity. It starts off with this childlike word, Abba, which is the word for daddy in their day and time. Daddy, Father. It was so simple. No frills. No filler words. No poems. Sorry, John. But that's fine for congregational prayers. But in the days of pain and suffering, You're not worried about all that. All you care about is calling out to God from your heart. Father, God, help. Daddy. It's simple. It's from the heart. He also prayed, affirming God's power when he said, all things are possible for you. That is the faith that we exhibit when we reach out to God in our time of pain and need. We must believe that all things are possible to him. Otherwise, why are we praying to him? But there's something inside of us that knows this, that believes this in our time of pain and suffering. It's very natural for us to reach out to God, asking for help, knowing that all things are possible for him. And Jesus also expressed his true desire. He said, remove this cup from me. That was Jesus' desire. By the way, he's the perfect Son of God. He knows what's going to happen next. He knows what God's will is. He knows God isn't going to remove the cup from him, but you know what? He asked for it anyway. And I find that really encouraging, because sometimes I don't know what God wants. And you know what Jesus says here? Ask anyway. Ask anyway. Don't be afraid to ask. Don't wonder, does God want this or that? What should I pray for? Ask from your heart. Ask what you want. You're going to your Father. You're asking from your heart, your desire. And that's perfectly fine. In fact, that's what God wants you to do. But that must be tempered with what Jesus ends with. This is what makes this an okay prayer to ask whatever you want. Because if you finish it off with these next words, it shows that your heart is still in the right place. Because Jesus ended his prayer with an offering of full trust for whatever God would will. Full trust in whatever God would will. He said, yet not what I will, but your will be done. Your will be done. That is the heart of a true Christian prayer that reaches out to the Father, recognizes he's able to do all things, expresses your own desire, and yet recognizes whatever God does ultimately is what is good and what is right. So in the days of pain and suffering, Jesus taught his disciples the importance of surrounding yourself with friends and with going to God in prayer. This is how you endure the days of pain and suffering. And as we enter these days in this journey of life, know that there is hope. Know that there is hope as you reach out for help in your time of need. Well, days of pain and suffering are not the only days Jesus prepared his disciples to endure. He also prepared them for the day to follow, which is the day of confusion and doubt, which they experienced when Jesus was buried and they didn't know what was going to happen next. These are the days when what you expected did not come to pass. These are the days when what you planned will not come to pass. These are the days when you question God's goodness and his wisdom as to what is coming to pass. And when Jesus died and was buried, this challenged the disciples at the core of their faith. They experienced confusion because, from their perspective, Jesus was supposed to be the Messiah of Israel. He was supposed to lead Israel to victory over his enemies, which was the Roman government at that time. And he was supposed to restore the kingdom of God on earth and put Israel back on the map. That's what they were expecting from Jesus. And now, he's dead. He was humiliated and defeated by the oppressors of God's people rather than being victorious over them. This was confusing. They also experienced times of doubt during this period. So they were confused as to what they were expecting from him. They had doubt because, well, maybe Jesus was wrong about these things that he said to them. Maybe everything they knew was a lie. Several of the disciples fell prey to doubt during this time. In fact, the phrase, a doubting Thomas, comes from this period. When one of the disciples, named Thomas, had great doubts about Jesus during this period. You know, we face days of confusion and doubt in many areas of our lives. Some of us have experienced God allowing our means of provision to come to an end. You know, God allows our friends and family relationships to come to an end. Or when God allows your church life to be disrupted, you know, the pastor you thought who would be here forever is suddenly retired or deployed. These things happen, don't they? There are so many ways that we are caught off guard and face the days of doubt and confusion in our life. And at times like these, we're asking ourselves, how can this be? How could God allow this to happen? I never thought this would happen to me. Well, Jesus was not caught off guard by the reality of the days of confusion and doubt that his disciples would have to go through. And in the Easter story, we see Jesus preparing his disciples to endure times like this. How did Jesus prepare his disciples to endure days of confusion and doubt? Jesus gave them promises to hold on to. He gave them promises to hold on to. We see this in John chapter 16, verse 16, where it says, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says, "A little while and you will see me no longer." He's telling them what's going to happen. "And a little while, you will see me." There's his promise. He's letting them know what's going to happen ahead of time. He's giving him these promise. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament. You will be sorrowful. But," and here's the good news, "your sorrow will turn into joy." Your sorrow will turn into joy. That's a promise from God to these disciples. And it is the promises of God that get us through the days of doubt and confusion when we're not sure what's going on and what's going to happen. And I think it's important to notice, though, that Jesus' promises didn't make the days of confusion and doubt pleasant. They would have sorrow. They would still be confused. They would have doubts. They would experience these things. But Jesus' promises did give them hope to endure through the days of confusion and doubt. Until God removed that confusion and doubt from their minds. It was sufficient to get them through. When you don't know the answers, When you don't know what's next, God has provided His promises in His Word to help us endure in faith through the days of doubt and confusion. Because in this life, we go through the cycles of pain and suffering and confusion and doubt. But when we hold on in faith, making means of what Jesus has showed us, we find that those days do pass, and they will resolve into days of joy and new life. Days of joy and new life that we also experience in this life. These are the days when life is good once again. These are the days when the pain is past, when the confusion is gone, and the joy has returned, and it is like we have a new life to live once again. And we enjoy these days. And we look forward to them when they're not present in our lives. And we look back to them when times are tough. In this life, days of joy come and days of joy go. Jesus tells us there is a cycle to life. And He pointed to the cycles that we see in nature to show us an example that this is part of the world He has created. He pointed to a seed that dies and is buried so that it can grow into new life. This is the time of year where we're planting seeds. This is fresh in our minds. And we see that cycle in nature. We understand it. The seed has to die. The seed has to be buried for it to grow into new life. We get that. The seed has to go through the hard times to get to the times of joy and new life. We also see it in the cycle of the seasons. We're coming out of winter, the harsh time, the time where everything seems dead. And we're entering the time of spring, where things are starting to grow, where things are starting to become alive again. And it's an exciting time. I love spring. I love it when those little crocuses come out and pop. I love seeing the new life that buds in this season. It's a happy time. It's a joyful time. But in order for that to happen, you have to go through the hard times. You have to go through the cycles. Jesus says, He pointed these things out to us for us to see in order to be encouraged that life has cycles. And the cycle comes around again while you're going through the hard times, and it will come back to times of joy. Hold on. Hold on. Until that time comes again. This is the hope that Easter holds out to us. It is the hope of knowing that though we will go through the cycles, the days of pain and suffering, and though we will go through the days of confusion and doubt, there is always a day of joy and new life that we can look forward to. Because in the story of Easter, death is not the end of the story. Death is not the end of the story if you are looking to Jesus as your Savior. Because Jesus died for our sins. Because Jesus was buried. Because Jesus was rose again. We are assured that though we follow in His footsteps through the unpleasant days, we too, like Him, will enter the great day of joy and new life. A day that will never again be interrupted by the days of pain and suffering or the days of confusion or doubt. And that's a wonderful day that we look forward to. And there's only one way to get to that true day of joy and new life. And Jesus told his disciples about that too. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus made it very clear. If you want to get to the day, the true day, the full day of joy and new life, you got to come through him. He's the one who paid for the sins of his people. He's the one who went through that time of pain and suffering and being buried and being rose again. And it is only by being connected to him in our faith that we will follow after him and experience that day of resurrection where we will be alive and in his presence for all of eternity. And in Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul tells us about this. He says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will experience that new life. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame." That is a promise to us that will get us through to that day of joy. And if you haven't reached out to God in this way, if you haven't called upon the name of Jesus as your Savior, I encourage you today to do that. Don't wait. For none of us knows what a day will bring forth. We know this is a crazy world we live in. Don't delay. Don't wait. Know Jesus. Come to know him. And know that you have the hope that he offers you in the Easter story. Hope that you will come through these hard times. That you will come through and experience the day of joy and new life that he offers to all who are looking to him as their Savior. So, we have hope in the Easter story. The story that Jesus died and was buried and rose again. This is the Easter story that is of first importance. And is of first importance because without it, you and I have no hope. But Jesus gives us hope in this Easter story. He gives us hope that we can endure the cycles of this life. He gives us hope that our sins are forgiven. And he gives us hope that we will live again in the ultimate day of joy and new life with him forever. This, my friends, is Easter hope. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this good news that you've given us of hope found in this Easter story. Lord, I pray that it'll speak very deeply to our hearts and that it'll lead us through the difficult days and into the day of joy where we will be with you in that state forever. We look forward to that day. Lord, come quickly. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.